from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Always good to be surrounded by the most passionate fan base on the planet. And why? Because, hey man, it's summer, but it's popping. Who else can say that Savannah Banana Pack is in their area code, in their zip code, on their diamond? Lot of action. And of course, DOC on a hot microphone and joined by heavy metal Christopher. Christopher, it almost seems strange not to have laid eyes on you, but I understand that you have been being Father of the Year, and once again, you've been nominated, and you've taken steps towards getting that award back-to-back years. So good for you.
I don't know if I'm up for that award or not, but
no, it's all good, man. It's I've seen these great athletes, and they really are that. Anytime it's hard enough to play baseball, straight up, but when you play in baseball, and also adding the athletic moves that they provide, like gymnasts and this art form, is crazy, and it is really being accepted, and it's thriving, man. I mean, packed arenas, brother. That was exciting. Did you expect that?
No, I mean, it's cool to see that kind of turnout for this kind of stuff, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that is strong, man. I don't know if you're a big ESPYs guy, but between Summer League, ESPYs, the soccer, the W, we got a lot of things going that have been a real positive vibe, you know, and what we do for a living, what we enjoy, what drives us has been pretty exciting.
I saw Jaden really Daniels bring home some hardware at the ESPYs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been good. I don't know if you got a chance to put a lot of eyes on it. I know you've been with the girls, but I know that people that follow their particular styles of music like each awards that fits it. So most athletes or former athletes or people involved in sports are going to be kind to the ESPYs. I just thought they did a heck of a job. Thought it was very well done, and it has such meaning. Seldom can you get an entertainment value with something that is that significant and it helps so many people. I mean, we're talking about raising money to fight cancer. And doing it in a way, in the speeches, again, Nick Saban, if you didn't hear it, I've been trying to encourage people to go back and give this dude, this brother, a shot at him, because he was dynamic, and all of them were. It was and something for a guy like you who's emotional, and award for courage, Steve Gleason. When that goes through, when you just, I mean, person after person. And then the awards, you know, you don't know who's going to win. And then when they do announce the people, everybody's capable. It was just really, it was good. I mean, just, I thought, heavy metal. I'm surprised he wasn't working the event. Every event I find, I'm watching or going to, I wonder, is heavy metal somewhere, you know, working a switchboard? Or
well, I was working. Something. I wasn't working their event, but I was here working overtime that night, so.
Oh, you were with Zion that night, huh?
Yeah. We had it on, but we weren't listening, you know, like, because we're doing our show, you know. But but I was here.
Speaking of Zion, isn't it kind of cool to see, I mean, the Summer League, every year we go through this, and we keep saying, I keep thinking, okay, well, we got the number two pick in the draft. Of course, we're our heightened senses. We're more into this because we have a little bit more invested in it. And all these guys, I just was very honest yesterday on overtime about, I'm really blown away by, in terms of their length, but they're shooting buckets. I mean, the distance, of course, the game has changed. Brand new game, you know, get over if you're born in the 50s or 60s. It's just not the game that you are accustomed to. It's also, the athlete has definitely morphed. I remember looking at Alonzo Mourning when he came out to Georgetown, and he represented a different type of center. Because most centers at the time, it was a mass that you were bulkier. He was more lean, you know, more, it was just a different style. Then we're going back to the Dream. The Dream was a different guy. You realize Wilt and these guys, they were enormous. The guy, it started changing. Now, and these dudes look completely different. And that's why the alien is so relevant now. But yet they crossing over. They can bring the ball up the court. You know, when you hear Anthony Davis, the people talk about AD, you know, he grew up, he was a point guard. And then he had amazing growth spurt. And then he morphed into the beast that he is now. It's crazy, man.
It's also wild because you used to, you know, the old strategy would be with these big guys underneath, these, you know, you try to draw them out. You know, like, you know, what's Shaq going to do at the three-point line? So you try to get him out of the key. You try to get him out, you know, whatever. But, like, you can't do that to, like, Wembanyama, right? Like, he'll just shoot.
No.
Like, it's like.
They live out there. They live out there. And then I'm going to tell you something about Carrington. Bub, this dude, pay attention. There's going to be a new sheriff in town. Got the three ball. Just so comfortable. You can see guys that, to me, reminds me of a young man that was probably 9 years old playing against 16-year-olds. It's something about it. You see that's in the water. But that Baltimore thing is no joke. He really impressed me. Fearless. Nice stroke. You know, nice handle. I started thinking, oh my goodness, they talking about 4 years from now. Be careful. It's just nice. I know, here we go again. We're so optimistic early on because we're desperate, been in the pit, and we want out. But I'm just looking at this and thinking, I enjoyed the fact that Bagley was there. And he is, you know, a former top pick and, you know, high pick and really got a lot of skills. I was impressed by him. He got obviously a lot to prove. Anybody, this is a top pick, blue blood, and then you don't find instant success, it's going to play on you. You're going to want to prove people wrong about you. You got feelings. Everybody, I mean, you got feelings. You hear what people are saying, and you want to prove them wrong. And the only way you can prove them wrong is on the floor and playing through it. Because it's not going to get better by what you think. It's only going to get better if you work it out. And just listening to, I know here we go again, but I am impressed with the Wizards management. And let me say something about Johnny Davis. You know, he hears what's going on, but you know what? He works through it. He's out there. This is third year, man. People, he hears it. He knows it. But he's out there, and I'm impressed by that. Work to get better. Don't have rabbit ears, and just fight through it. Because the only way you find your game and to develop your game is to work on your game. That's it. But it's got to be something that you know that he hears it. Because when you're a top pick, I think it was a 10th pick, then you expect a lot of this is expected of you. And I just love the fact that he's grinding. And man, if he could pop out, and you know it's there. He's had it before. You just hope that it's there. And then it's Olympic year. A lot buzzing on. We don't have to make any of it up. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I don't see this four-year away thing. I'm way more impatient than that. I'm feeling like I need to see some results a little bit sooner.
It's only three this time, right? Wasn't the last one 3 years ago because of the COVID? They pushed it back or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. I'm
ready for it. I love the Olympics. Don't get me wrong. I'm here.
Oh yeah, no, I do, man. I do too. I really like. But it's just like with the what's happening with soccer. Dr. Holder was great yesterday with us, made his predictions, and can't wait to see what's happening today. The whole idea of what Sunday means and in tennis and soccer and sports that we focus on at this time of the year, and yet in our mind that pigskin is simmering. We're just itching, and then the curly W's, man, it's hard to get out of a rut. Character victory. Because if you gave up on them yesterday, then you don't know them. And you know, they're in the middle of bringing people up, shifting this thing around a little bit. It's got to be frightening knowing that maybe you're on somebody else's watch list, that you might be out of here because they're retooling. Monumental victory. And that's one of the reasons why I'm feeling really, really good today, because when they win, then it's like the release of endorphins for me. I'm like, I'm hard to beat when they win. And it's all good, as the kids say in the neighborhood. We got a lot to really deal with, as we do almost every time we're on the microphone, but it just seems like today is special. And feel good about it. It was great to celebrate the life of Coach Butch McAdams. And it was just, you know, it was supposed to be that way, a celebration of life as opposed to being sad. You are emotional, but in an uplifting way based on a person's life. And so I'm excited about that. Let's take a break. Get ourselves going. 1-800-636-1067 is the number right here on The Fan. Back in a moment.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Well, if you're here in the DMV, you can give yourself a high five, a fun bunch high five, because the weather is marvelous, beautiful outside, and pretty good day as we get it started. And
great day for a baseball game.
Oh yeah, at the afterglow of the curly W's, man, I'm feeling good about that. Also, All-Star game coming up. That's always special for all of us former Little Leaguers. We just it was the first big sporting event of a lot of our lives that were dedicated to sports. Was the All-Star game. I mean, that was it. And a lot of significance behind it. Henry in North Carolina, welcome to Overtime.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Henry, I mean, it's a fantastic start, man.
It is indeed. Yeah, I just wanted to call and thank you for all the love and respect you have for soccer. You know, you're not trying to change the game or call it boring. And as a soccer addict, not a fan, an addict, I really appreciated that.
Well, it's a beautiful, and you know, they say the beautiful game. What I'm appreciating about it is, I go, how can a guy who loves baseball not loves the game of soccer? I mean, both games are relatively, I mean, they're not speed games, but his patience is required. But what the difference between the two sports, I just had no idea. First of all, one's a contact sport. Soccer is brutally physical, and I didn't realize. I thought it was officiated differently. It's terrible. It's how many things are called.
Yeah, and you had the guest on yesterday who was awesome, you know, A++, and he really highlighted how tough it is.
Oh, well, Dr. Holder, yes, sir. He's a phenomenal former champion, Rutgers great, and he is, and that's what we need, because it's about education. But I just, and the passion, who follows anything with this level of dedication and emotion? See, nothing like
it. It's true. It's true. And, you know, you're talking about education and the passion, and sometimes that kind of is going against us as just Americans, really, and we don't kind of understand just what we're up against, to be honest with you. And I did want to, you know, kind of highlight the difference between, you know, international soccer and, you know, in the wake of the U.S. men's national team, and just kind of highlight the difference between, you know, if you take your fan hat on and you put your GM hat, as you like to say, and just really – you know, kind of just the delusion almost that we're facing. You know, for instance, we're over here looking for a new coach, and you see all these names out there, and, you know, these are the Bill Belichicks of the world in the coaching realm. And the reality is they're just not coming to international soccer. You go to international soccer as a coach once you've failed or, you know, once you're retired. So it's just really tough when you have a coach like Greg Berhalter, who, to be honest, he didn't miss the World Cup back in the day. He has the all-time greatest winning percentage as a U.S. men's national team coach. And to see him come to a tournament that we don't play in, we're not playing the Brazils and the Argentina on a regular basis. And to have him go out on kind of, you know, the players are you know, kind of at fault in my eyes with the red card and things about that, and to see him just put out to door and just not being celebrated after he recently just got a new contract, it's kind of disappointing. And I almost see parallels between what y'all have had to deal with in Washington with what we deal with the Federation and kind of the ownership structure of U.S. soccer.
seems complicated. Meddling does kind of sound political. And again, all my vision comes through Lou Holder. It seems complicated, but a lot of people seem to have agreed with it. Now, I don't know if those people obviously don't have the knowledge that you have on it. And I'm still in toddler mode, understanding the nuances of it, but it makes sense. So who would you recommend?
Who would I recommend? I have no idea, to be honest with you. I don't know who's out there to get. In this situation, I would highly recommend waiting. The next competitive match that they play is in 2025. They don't have to qualify for the World Cup. It's on the home soil, so they really need to get this right. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. The Canada coach, actually, Jesse Marsh, is an American. And talking about, you know, international soccer is where you go once you're finished. He failed at the highest levels in Germany. He had prestigious jobs in Germany and England, and he failed. And he actually spoke about his time going through the interview process, and he said it was terrible, unorganized, didn't feel welcome. And the one thing that the Federation doesn't have is money. They don't really have the ability to go out here and spend millions of dollars on a coach. And they're already paying a coach, I believe, in Greg Berhalter. You know, he had a contract signed. So it'll be very, very interesting to see. And, you know, the coach is only part of our problem. These players we have even are great players. I would almost kind of equivalent it to Terry McLaurin, where they're good, but they're not, you know, your blue chippers, your great players. And that's our good players. The rest of our squad, you know, they don't even play, to be honest with you. They're third, fourth options at their club. So, yeah, they're in Europe. Yeah, they have some big jerseys on their back, but they're not playing week out. And when they do play, they're not producing.
Well, I appreciate that, man. We love to learn. I love to learn. Metal, you've never stopped learning. And I feel like right now we're smarter as a result of Henry. Hey, man, don't be a stranger. Hey, thanks for the knowledge.
Definitely. I appreciate it, Coach. And don't get your hopes up this afternoon. These games, they play not to lose. So you're not going to get the attacking open soccer, especially in the finals. So, but anyways, thank you. Have a great day, and really appreciate it.
Oh, man, thank you. Metal.
Take care.
I feel like we have done something, man.
I mean, I learned a lot from that, too, because I don't know much about the men's soccer. It's just not covered that much here, you know?
No, it is, but the variance between the two different styles of play, that was hot.
I mean, I didn't also know that the coaches that you bring in for international are usually the ones that failed over in Europe and stuff. That's kind of interesting.
Well, Dr. Holder, Lou, if you're out there listening, man, give yourself a fun bunch high five. Let's go to break on that one, big fella. Turning the corner here. Education style on a Sunday here on Overtime. MLB. Summer. All-Star Game. Things simmering up. Prospects going, and really all across our town with the major sports, might have maybe all four of them. It's about the future. It's about young prospects. You know, we got our ear to the ground, our hopefuls, the Dylan Cruises, the Brady House of the world. We're hopeful. Same way with in every sport, there's youth. We're like a daycare all the way across the board. Which one of our toddlers will walk first? You know, who hold that bottle with their own hand, two hands? We're at that developmental stage. For any of us that you have been parents, you realize the thrill that you received when you saw young, I can't imagine your parents thrilled when they saw you take the big first steps you took. The house probably was trembling when you took your first steps.
I was a big baby, too.
Oh, really? No way.
I was over 10 pounds when I was born, yeah.
I told you almost killed your mom. That's what I told her. I was like, she survived you. Yeah, surviving you, man. But really, that's where we are, and that's the exciting part. And you have to give the people in the front offices, really the Wizards, the Commanders, and Rizzo and crew, That's the part that we don't spend enough time. And I don't even know if we really understand all the things that have to go in to making those decisions of selecting these guys. And then now with all the, and with the pitchers and the arm injuries and things that can happen, really know. And maybe one day it would be great for an entire show or segment to be dedicated about who has the most difficult task. GM being the general manager of which sport, hockey, basketball, football, baseball. I love baseballs and hockey, these systems. The NBA, which had college basketball, the feeders, and now the G League, and now the globalization of international hoops. I mean, baseball is played all over the world as well, but, you know, other than the Little League World Series, I don't think you see a whole bunch of international baseball. So, and Metal, the question was, who has the toughest time as the general manager in which of our four majors? The hardest task of making these evaluations, then putting people in a system, nurturing them, bringing them up. That's a lot involved in it. The NFL, and we kill it. Oh, the guy made a bad mistake. Well, you got college, you got a preview. They're basically help. They're not a partner with you. They're doing their own thing, but you kind of have to hope that they do it right. Where baseball and hockey have a little bit more control. Hoops, I don't know what you do. They're all over the world now. So it becomes really interesting, how you get the Rizzos of the world who really figure this out to a science. And then you do everything right. Everything. And then a guy tears a muscle. Sports work. There's no time to worry about what went wrong. The games have to be played. But I just wonder, if you had to wear that hat of general manager of the four majors, would you leap at first? Which do you think would be the most challenging or the most fun?
Well, I think Commanders for me. That would
football?
Yeah, well, it's the biggest roster as part of it too. You know, you got a 53-man team, so many different positions to consider. I don't know. I think that'd be real fun. It'd be hard. Don't get me wrong. It's an incredibly tough job. But if I had to do one of them, that's probably the one I'd want to do.
I just love the fact that baseball and like hockey, they get to control the system. They have minor league systems.
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't have a minor league system.
Not really. I mean, there's so college, trusting, but it's not really, you know.
Well, yeah, but you can't trust that. You hope you assess on another. You're in vet. They were for another person for 4 years.
Well, they don't usually play that long anymore.
Well, but I'm just saying, you have nothing to do with that influence on it. If your kid's down in Colorado, he got enough gold around his neck to choke a horse, and there ain't nothing you can do about that. That's somebody else's value system. If you get that kid and he's in your baseball system, you got pretty much got an idea. You got a watchful eye on him. You put him in your system. Look at the products that the Hershey Bears had, that system. Hell, your head coach went through it.
How many goalies have we gotten through them too, you know?
Yeah, but just look at what the Capitals represent now. You talk about structure. When your head coach ran your minor league, that to me, that's like the old school, what the Orioles way or what the Dodgers minor league system. What more do you want? And now in basketball, It's that system. I think it's interesting. The most fair, and I don't think they don't get the credit. I mean, really, in my opinion, I don't think they get enough. And it's really, really hard because the injury factor in baseball now, I think, is just it really makes it more challenging because the pitcher, well, just like quarterback. I should probably slap myself for that because there's no sport controlled like the quarterback controls football. When you have a sport and you got 32 teams and you don't even have half the league that's covered with an elite quarterback, what does that say? That's probably the hardest one to develop. Yet it doesn't mean you still can't win, but it does make it more difficult. I just think that what will happen when we see, if we get the matchup that we're looking for, I guess what I'm looking for, maybe you are too, is to just home run king versus fastball. So we'll see what happens, brother. Can't wait to get to it. Then our curly W's, let's get ready to rock and roll. Do us a favor at 1-800-636-1067. Place packed, sold out. And I'd love to get some reaction to it because it's hard enough to play baseball by itself, but to do it the way they're doing it and getting it done, that does deserve a fun bunch.
I like five. The fan interactive aspect of the Savannah Bananas. I like, you know, like anytime someone hits a foul ball, if a fan catches it, it counts as an out. It doesn't have to be caught by a player. It can be caught by anyone.
Are you kidding me?
Nah, that's one of the rules. That's what I mean. That's kind of cool. Like, so it's like you got to actually watch the game, you know?
Yeah, so you're into the game. You are part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get somebody that was there. Another new thing. Did you have a big interest in baseball growing up? And if so, who was your team and why?
Well, I sure did. I think I've talked to you about this before. I grew up as a Royals fan because my dad's family is all from Kansas City. And so the first teams I ever watched were the Chiefs and the Royals. And I was a huge George Brett fan, man. I had over 100 different baseball cards of him that I had collected, all kinds of stuff, memorabilia.
Do you have one of them left?
I have them all still.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Okay. I do. I don't think many of them are worth much. You know, a lot of it was like in that kind of early 90s pre-strike era of baseball card collecting where they're kind of just printing and printing and printing them, and none of them were really worth that much outside of maybe a Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookie card or something. Mm-hmm. But I had tons of them. I mean, I collected them from everywhere. They had like mail-ins from like Quaker Oatmeal that I mailed in to get a George Brett card from, like all kinds of like weird things that I could, you know, get my hands on and whatever. So, but I still have them all. Yeah, it's more sentimental to me. I don't think they have much value, most of those.
Yeah, the baseball card deal, it's but it had a hell of a run.
Yeah, I got into comics a little bit after that. The baseball cards, or the baseball strike of like what, 95 or whatever, really, it crashed the baseball card market at that time. Basically, any cards with any value, even old ones, Mickey Mantles and whatever, all just like dropped in value. And because people were so upset about baseball and the sport and everything. And so at that point, I actually got more into comic books. That's when I got into that stuff. So that was also kind of big at that time. So reading a lot of X-Men and things like that. So
yes, yeah, see, I never did the comic books deal, never.
Well, where I grew up, the comics and the baseball cards were all sold at the same shop. So it was like, if you're going for one, you'd see the other, you know? So,
yeah, that is amazing, though. It's I was trying to think. Well, not everybody does everything, but and I just wonder now, 25 years from now, what people will be talking about. But it'll be social media related, possibly. And
well, you're talking about collectibles. There's always like new collectibles coming out. You know, there's Pokemon had its big rage for a while. There's Beanie Babies. There always seems to be something coming out. Right now, they got the Funko Pops are really huge. Yeah. And the sneakers, you know, the athletic sneakers, going back to old Jordans, but even new ones coming out now. There's a huge collector market for that stuff too. So
yeah, that I saw. I was watching Receivers on Netflix, and they showed, you know, George Kettle. He had a birthday party, and his wife, she hung. He's a big shoe freak, and she hung them on the wall. Very, very well done. I found that whole package to be enjoyable. I really did. It was very well produced, and I found it. Yeah, it was good. I saw something. As much as you were on the phone deal, I find, what are some of the most interesting things you run across?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
MLB summer all-star game, things simmering up, prospects going, and really all across our town with the major sports. I might have maybe all 4 of them. It's about the future. It's about young prospects. You know, we got our ear to the ground, our hopefuls, the Dylan Cruises, the Brady House of the world. We're hopeful. Same way with in every sport. There's youth. We're like a daycare, all the way across the board. Which one of our toddlers will walk first? You know, who hold that bottle with their own hand, 2 hands. We're at that developmental stage. For any of us that you have been parents, you realize the thrill that you received when you saw young, I can't imagine your parents' thrill when they saw you take the big first steps you took. The house probably was trembling when you took your first steps.
I was a big baby too.
Oh, really? No way.
I was over 10 pounds when I was born, yeah.
Told you almost killed your mom. That's what I told her. She survived you. Yeah, surviving you, man. But really, that's where we are, and that's the exciting part. And you have to give the people in the front offices, really the Wizards, the Commanders, and Rizzo and crew, that's the part that we don't spend enough time. And I don't even know if we really understand all the things that have to go in to making those decisions of selecting these guys. And then now with all the, and with the pitchers and the arm injuries and things that can happen, really know. And maybe one day it would be great for an entire show or segment to be dedicated about who has the most difficult task? GM, being the general manager of which sport? Hockey, basketball, football, baseball. I love baseballs and hockey, these systems. And now that the NBA, which had college basketball, the feeders, and now the G League, and now the globalization of international hoops. I mean, baseball is played all over the world as well, but, you know, other than the Little League World Series, I don't think you see a whole bunch of international baseball. So, and Metal, the question was, who has the toughest time as a general manager in which of our four majors? The hardest task of making these evaluations, then putting people in a system, nurturing them, bringing them up. That's a lot involved in it. The NFL, and the guy made a bad mistake. Well, you got college, you got a preview. They're basically help. They're not a partner with you. They're doing their own thing, but you kind of have to hope that they do it right. Where baseball and hockey have a little bit more control. Hoops, I don't know what you do. They're all over the world now. So it becomes really interesting, how you get the Rizzos of the world who really figure this out to a science. And then you do everything right. Everything. And then a guy tears a muscle. Sports work. There's no time to worry about what went wrong. The games have to be played. But I just wonder, if you had to wear that hat of general manager of the four majors, would you leap at first? Which do you think would be the most challenging or the most fun?
Well, I think Commanders for me. That would
football?
Yeah, well, it's the biggest roster as part of it too. You know, you got a 53-man team, so many different positions to consider. I don't know. I think that'd be real fun. It'd be hard. Don't get me wrong. It's an incredibly tough job. But if I had to do one of them, that's probably the one I'd want to do.
I just love the fact that baseball and like hockey, they get to control the system. They have minor league systems.
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't have a minor league system.
Not really. I mean, there's college, but it's not really, you know.
Well, yeah, but you can't trust that. They're with another person for 4 years.
Well, they don't usually play that long anymore.
Well, but I'm just saying, you have nothing to do with that influence on it. If your kid's down in Colorado, he got enough gold around his neck to choke a horse, and there ain't nothing you can do about that. That's somebody else's value system. If you get that kid and he's in your baseball system, you got pretty much got an idea. You got a watchful eye on him. You put him in your system. Look at the products that the Hershey Bears had, that system. Hell, your head coach went through it.
How many goalies have we gotten through them too, you know?
Yeah, but just look at what the Capitals represent now. You talk about structure. When your head coach ran your minor league, that, to me, that's like the old school, what the Orioles way or what the Dodgers minor league system. What more do you want? And now in basketball, it's that system. I think it's interesting. The most fair, and I don't think they don't get the credit. I mean, really, in my opinion, I don't think they get enough. And it's really, really hard because the injury factor in baseball now, I think, is just it really makes it more challenging because the pitcher, well, just like quarterback. I should probably slap myself for that because there's no sport controlled like the quarterback controls football. When you have a sport and you got 32 teams and you don't even have half the league that's covered with an elite quarterback? What does that say? That's probably the hardest one to develop. Yet it doesn't mean you still can't win, but it does make it more difficult. I just think that what will happen when we see, if we get the matchup that we're looking for, I guess what I'm looking for, maybe you are too, is to just home run king versus fastball. So we'll see what happens, brother. Can't wait to get to it. Then our Curly W's, let's get ready to rock and roll. Do us a favor at 1-800-636-1067. Place packed, sold out. And I'd love to get some reaction to it, because it's hard enough to play baseball by itself, but to do it the way they're doing it and getting it done, that does deserve a fun bunch.
I like five. The fan interactive aspect of the Savannah Bananas. I like, you know, like anytime someone hits a foul ball, if a fan catches it, it counts as an out. It doesn't have to be caught by a player. It can be caught by anyone.
Are you kidding me?
Nah, that's one of the rules. That's what I mean. That's kind of cool. Like, so it's like you got to actually watch the game, you know?
Yeah, so you're into the game. You are part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get somebody that was there. Another new thing. It's did you have a big interest in baseball growing up? And if so, who was your team and why?
Well, I sure did. I think I've talked to you about this before. I grew up as a Royals fan because my dad's family is all from Kansas City, and so the first teams I ever watched were the Chiefs and the Royals, and I was a huge George Brett fan, man. I had over 100 different baseball cards of him that I had collected, all kinds of stuff, memorabilia.
Do you have one of them left?
I have them all still.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Okay. I do. I don't think many of them are worth much. You know, a lot of it was like in that kind of early 90s pre-strike era of baseball card collecting, where they were kind of just printing them, and none of them were really worth that much outside of maybe a Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookie card or something. Mm-hmm. But I had tons of them. I mean, I collected them from everywhere. They had like mail-ins from like Quaker Oatmeal that I mailed in to get a George Brett card from, like all kinds of like weird things that I could, you know, get my hands on and whatever. So, but I still have them all. Yeah, it's more sentimental to me. I don't think they have much value, most of those.
Yeah, the baseball card deal, it's but it had a hell of a run.
Yeah, I got into comics a little bit after that. The baseball cards, or the baseball strike of like what, 95 or whatever, really, it crashed the baseball card market at that time. Basically, any cards with any value, even old ones, Mickey Mantles and whatever, all just like dropped in value. And because you know, people were so upset about baseball and the sport and everything. And so at that point, I actually got more into comic books. That's when I got into that stuff. So that was also kind of big at that time. So reading a lot of X-Men and things like that. So
yes, yeah, I never did the comic books deal, never.
Well, where I grew up, the comics and the baseball cards were all sold at the same shop. So it was like, if you're going for one, you'd see the other, you know? So,
yeah, that is amazing, though. It's, I was trying to think. Well, not everybody does everything, but, and I just wonder now, 25 years from now, what people will be talking about. But it'll be social media related. Possibly. And
well, if you're talking about collectibles, there's always like new collectibles coming out. You know, there's Pokemon had its big rage for a while. There's Beanie Babies. There always seems to be something coming out. Right now, they got the Funko Pops are really huge. Yeah. And the sneakers, you know, the athletic sneakers, going back to old Jordans, but even new ones coming out now. There's a huge collector market for that stuff, too. So
yeah, that I saw. I was watching Receivers on Netflix, And they showed, you know, George Kettle. He had a birthday party, and his wife, she hung. He's a big shoe freak. And she hung him on the wall. Very, very well done. I found that whole package to be enjoyable. I really did. It was very well produced, and I found it, yeah, it was good. I saw something, as much as you were on the phone deal, I find, what are some of the most interesting things you run across? It may be crazy. I'm not on TikTok, but I do watch, you know, I look at things. And when I see something that's really good to me, it's crazy. You do want to share it. And I missed the name of it because I refuse to get hooked on it. But this guy has a company, and it was almost like he came in like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of thing. Maybe
love
one of the most
movie,
frightening
the
things ever. And he comes into this woman's bedroom with a chainsaw, and she wakes up and flies out of her room, and she's running down the street, and he times her. He's got a stopwatch. And he's timing her, and it's like to get you motivated to work out. And it's like he's got a company. It's something like he's scaring you into training. Dude, I almost hemorrhaged. I was laughing so hard. It was like, now that was creative. And everybody had on these white lab suits and with these chainsaws and getting you to jump. You know, sometimes you procrastinate. You put things on a back burner. And all of a sudden, somebody busts in your house and scares you, and you run out, and you run faster, do more than you've done in years. And I could not stop laughing over that. And I go, we got some talented people out here who make it happen. But this weekend, the All-Star Game is special. Yeah, it is special. The All-Star Game is
It's a classic. It's just... I don't know. It'll be exciting to see the new pitcher for the Pirates playing, man. He's starting.
Yeah, well, and that is, but going against Judge. So you figure that'll happen. He'll pitch one inning.
Yeah.
And it's King
three
Kong
or four
Godzilla.
Batters.
Yeah, King Kong Godzilla. And that's going to be, it's going to be exciting. Pitcher in my life, I mean, I was a Bob Gibson fanatic and, you know, Koufax, I came up in that era, but Gibson for me was like a god. It was just crazy, man. And so, yeah, that was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. Can't wait for it to happen. And I just, I do think, even though the public's not really crazy about sharing itself with it, but you know, we'll see what happens. It is, we got time to squeeze a call in?
Let's do it. We got a couple on right now.
All right, let's go for it. Dr. Sabah, you leadoff hitter today for us here on Overtime.
Hey there, Doc. You know, I always got a shout out, you know, since I'm in the K-9 Club, thankfully. I appreciate you for letting me be part of that. I wanted to mention the Netflix series, The Receiver. That is amazing. I think I'm on episode 3 or 4. My daughter gets mad if I watch without her, so I have to pace myself till she's, you know, in the room with me. But I must say, these receivers, they are so tough. I think quarterback is the toughest position to play in all the sports mentally, but receiver is the toughest physically. And people go, well, linebackers get hit every down. Running backs get hit every down, but they know it's coming. Receivers have to have finesse in the air, jumping, focusing, and then get plummeted and hold on to the ball. That is so hard to do. I don't know if you saw the one with Davante Adams yet. He basically dislocated the shoulder, and he's still playing. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard could not be a manager in the NFL, let alone play. This boy sits out because my ankle might be hurting. We think my calf is a little sore. I don't understand these NBA people. They're not NFL guys at all. And this receiver stuff is amazing.
Yeah, it is. I love it. But Kawhi, I mean, that's a Steve Ballmer deal. I don't blame Steve. You build a brand-new arena, you do all that, and you've lost one of your chips. I wouldn't want him on an Olympic team.
I wouldn't want him on my team, Doc. I don't know why they pay this guy so overrated. But anyway, getting back to football, even with the Kirk Cousins one, you remember on the quarterback, how he kept getting killed and killed and killed and kept coming up. These guys are just so tough. But I tell you, I have a new respect for these wide receivers now. It just impresses me how talented and tough they are. And I just want to give a shout-out to all the wide receivers out there. Terry included. He's my favorite.
I heard it's been discontinued or whatever, but I love it. It's great. Good hearing from you,
Doctor.
They'll
come back as soon as they get people to volunteer. See, the quarterbacks said we're going to do another season, but none of the quarterbacks agreed. They were afraid to do it. So I think they went receiver route.
No,
but don't worry, they might do coaches now.
Yeah, I hope so. I love it. And Peyton Manning as the executive producer, outstanding job.
Me too.
Appreciate
I hope
you. Have a good day.
One. Let him do a kickers one with Mosley running it.
Yeah,
thanks,
well,
man.
Mosley would be him. That's my guy. Just saw him last week at DC Prime. Good man. How we doing on time, Captain?
Let's squeeze one more of these callers in.
All right, Todd out in Bethesda.
Hey, Doc. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, man, we're rocking and rolling.
Good, man, good. Hey, I was at Banana Ball last night.
You were there?
Yes, sir.
Describe it for us, man. It looks like a blast.
So I've actually been following them for about 5 years. I was docked in Savannah on a research boat and kind of heard about them through the town. It was like a little small town kind of circus. And the fact that they grew that thing to the point where they sold out Nats Park last night. I mean, there was 42,000 people in yellow shirts there last night. It was wild.
Man, it looks like a blast.
Oh, it was a ton of fun. They had a whole bunch of grandmas come out, and they were the banana nanas, and they were dancing on the dugout.
I want to see video of that.
Oh, it was fantastic. I was there with my mother. You know, there's a guy in stilts as a dancing umpire. I mean, they put on such a good show. You know, they have different rules. I mean, it was just so much fun. Kids were having a blast all over the place. I mean, it was a good time. I suggest everyone try to go see it once.
Well, brother, you got me sold on it too, man. I'm amazed by it. Appreciate you tapping in on us that way. Thank you. Tell you what,
take
man, we got a really high IQ following. Until you know who calls, we got to be ranked in amongst the highest in the country. If we can just get him to stay out in the woods and keep hunting, we might break a record today.
Speaking of breaks,
yeah, let's do one. And we'll see you on the other side of the hour. Do us a favor at 1-800-636-1067. Place packed, sold out. And I'd love to get some reaction to it because it's hard enough to play baseball by itself. But to do it the way they're doing it and getting it done, that does deserve a fun bunch.
I like
five.
The fan interactive aspect of the Savannah Bananas. I like, you know, like anytime someone hits a foul ball, if a fan catches it, it counts as an out. It doesn't have to be caught by a player. It can be caught by anyone.
Are you kidding me?
Nah, that's one of the rules. That's what I mean. It's kind of cool. Like, so
that's
it's like
awful.
You gotta actually watch the game, you know?
Yeah, so you're into the game. You are a part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get somebody that was there. Another new thing. It's did you have a big interest in baseball growing up? And if so, who was your team and why?
Well, I sure did. I think I've talked to you about this before. I grew up as a Royals fan because my dad's family is all from Kansas City. And so the first teams I ever watched were the Chiefs and the Royals. And I was a huge George Brett fan, man. I had over 100 different baseball cards of him that I had collected, all kinds of stuff, memorabilia.
Do you have one of them left?
I have them all still.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do. I don't think many of them are worth much. You know, a lot of it was like in that kind of early 90s pre strike era of baseball card collecting, where they were kind of just printing and printing and printing them, and none of them were really worth that much outside of maybe a Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookie card or something. Mm-hmm. But I had tons of them. I mean, I collected them from everywhere. They had like mail-ins from like Quaker Oatmeal that I mailed in to get a George Brett card from, like all kinds of like weird things that I could, you know, get my hands on and whatever. So, but I still have them all. Yeah, it's more sentimental to me. I don't think they have much value, most of those.
Yeah, the baseball card deal, it's but it had a hell of a run.
Yeah, I got into to comics a little bit after that. The baseball cards, or the baseball strike of like what, 95 or whatever, really, it crashed the baseball card market at that time. Basically, any cards with any value, even old ones, Mickey Mantles and whatever, all just like dropped in value. And because the, you know, people were so upset about baseball and the sport and everything. And so at that point, I actually got more into comic books. That's when I got into that stuff. So that was also kind of big at that time. So reading a lot of X-Men and things like that. So
yes, yeah, see, I never did the comic books deal. Never.
But well, where I grew up, the comics and the baseball cards were all sold at the same shop. So it was like, if you're going for one, you'd see the other, you know? So.
Yeah, that is amazing, though. It's, I was trying to think. Well, not everybody does everything, but, and I just wonder now, 25 years from now, what people will be talking about. But it'll be social media related. Possibly. And
well, you're talking about collectibles. There's always like new collectibles coming out. You know, there's Pokemon had its big rage for a while. There's Beanie Babies. There always seems to be something coming out. Right now, they got the Funko Pops are really huge. Yeah. And the sneakers, you know, the athletic sneakers, going back to old Jordans, but even new ones coming out now. There's a huge collector market for that stuff too. So
yeah, that I saw. I was watching Receivers on Netflix, and they showed, you know, George Kettle. He had a birthday party, and his wife, he's a big shoe freak, and she hung him on the wall. Very, very well done. I found that whole package to be enjoyable. I really did. It was very well produced, and I found it, yeah, it was good. I saw something, as much as you were on the phone deal, I find, what are some of the most interesting things you run across? It may be crazy. I'm not on TikTok, but I do watch. You know, I look at things. And when I see something that's really good to me, it's crazy. You do want to share it. And I missed the name of it because I refuse to get hooked on it. But this guy has a company. And it was almost like he came in like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of thing. Maybe one of the most frightening things ever. And he comes into this woman's bedroom with a chainsaw. And she wakes up and flies out of her room. And she's running down the street. And he times her. He's got a stopwatch. And he's timing her. And it's like to get you motivated to work out. And it's like he's got a company. It's something like he's scaring you into training. Dude, I almost hemorrhaged. I was laughing so hard. It was like, now that was creative. And everybody had on these white lab suits and with these chainsaws and getting you to jump. You know, sometimes you procrastinate. You put things on a back burner. And all of a sudden, somebody busts in your house and scares you. You run out. And you run faster, do more than you've done in years. And I could not stop laughing over that. And I go, we got some talented people out here who make it happen. But this weekend, the All-Star Game is special. Yeah, it is special. The All-Star Game is
It's a classic. It's just, I don't know. It'll be exciting to see the new pitcher for the Pirates playing, man. He's starting.
Yeah, well, and that is, but going against Judge. So you figure that'll happen. You pitch one inning.
Yeah.
And it's King Kong Godzilla.
Yeah,
King Kong Godzilla. And that's going to be, I mean, it's going to be exciting. Pitcher in my life, I mean, I was a Bob Gibson fanatic and, you know, Koufax, I came up in that era, but Gibson for me was like a god. It was just crazy, man. And so, yeah, that was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. Can't wait for it to happen. And I just, I do think, even though the public's not really crazy about sharing itself with it, but, you know, we'll see what happens. It is, we got time to squeeze a call in?
Let's do it. We got a couple on right now.
All right, let's go for it. Dr. Sabah, you leadoff hitter today for us here on Overtime.
Hey there, Doc. You know, I always got a shout out, you know, since I'm in the K-9 Club, thankfully. I appreciate you for letting me be part of that. I wanted to mention the Netflix series, The Receiver. That is amazing. I think I'm on episode 3 or 4. My daughter gets mad if I watch without her, so I have to pace myself till she's, you know, in the room with me. But I must say, these receivers, they are so tough. I think quarterback is the toughest position to play in all the sports mentally, but receiver is the toughest physically. And people go, well, linebackers get hit every down. Running backs get hit every down, but they know it's coming. Receivers have to have finesse in the air, jumping, focusing, and then get plummeted and hold on to the ball. That is so hard to do. I don't know if you saw the one with Devontae Adams yet. He basically dislocated the shoulder, and he's still playing. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard could not be a manager in the NFL, let alone play. This boy sits out because my ankle might be hurting. We think my calf is a little sore. I don't understand these NBA people. They're not NFL guys at all. And this receiver stuff is amazing.
Yeah, it is. I love it. But Kawhi, I mean, that's a Steve Ballmer deal. I don't blame Steve. You build a brand-new arena, you do all that, and you've lost one of your chips. I wouldn't want him on an Olympic team.
I wouldn't want him on my team, Doc. I don't know why they pay this guy so overrated. But anyway, getting back to football, even with the Kirk Cousins one, you remember on the quarterback how he kept getting killed and killed and killed and kept coming up. These guys are just so tough. But I tell you, I have a new respect for these wide receivers now. It just impresses me how talented and tough they are. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to all the wide receivers out there, Terry included.
It.
He's my favorite.
I heard it's been discontinued or whatever, but I love it. It's great. Good hearing from you,
Doctor.
They'll
come back as soon as they get people to volunteer. See, the quarterbacks said we're going to do another season, but none of the quarterbacks agreed. They were afraid to do it. So I think they went receiver route. But don't worry. They might do coaches now.
Yeah, I hope so. I love it. And Peyton Manning as executive producer, outstanding job.
Me too.
Appreciate you. Have a good day.
Let him do a kickers one with Mosley running it.
Yeah, well, Mosley would be him. That's my guy. Just saw him last week at DC Prime. Good man. How we doing on time, Captain?
Let's squeeze one more of these callers in.
All right, Todd out in Bethesda.
Hey, Doc. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, man. We're rocking and rolling.
Good, man. Good. Hey, I was up in Annabelle last night.
You were there?
Yes, sir.
Describe it for us, man. It looks like a blast.
So I've actually been following them for about 5 years. I was docked in Savannah on a research boat and kind of heard about them through the town. It was like a little small town kind of circus. And the fact that they grew that thing to the point where they sold out Nats Park last night. I mean, there was 42,000 people in yellow shirts there last night. It was wild.
Man, it looks like a blast.
Oh, it was a ton of fun. They had a whole bunch of grandmas come out, and they were the banana nanas, and they were dancing on the dugout.
I want to see video of that.
Oh, it was fantastic. I was there with my mother. You know, there's a guy in stilts, there's a dancing umpire. I mean, they put on such a good show. You know, they have different rules. I mean, it was just so much fun. Kids were having a blast all over the place. I mean, it was a good time. I suggest everyone try to go see it once.
Well, brother, you got me sold on it too, man. I'm amazed by it. Appreciate you tapping in on us that way. Thank you. Tell you what, we got a really high IQ following. Until you know who calls, we got to be ranked in amongst the highest in the country. If we can just get him to stay out in the woods and keep hunting, we might break a record today.
Speaking of breaks.
Yeah, let's do one. And we'll see you on the other side of the hour.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.